on. Let's see, today is February 8th. It's a Friday, and this is the noon Eastern Time PSS group. And this week we're talking about acknowledging and validating. And we're just getting ready to do some check-ins and some celebrations. Mary, you want to celebrate?
Let's see. So checking in, PSS and my daughter celebrating. I guess it's just kind of all in all, we have been in a really great place for a couple weeks. Like, I almost hesitate to call because I don't know what I'm going to take aim on, but we've been in a great place and seeing so much maturity. And
yeah.
Like, I'm catching her that she'll, you know, sort of stop herself when I can tell that she's wants to have a big reaction. She's pausing a little bit more. And if something does happen, she can get back under control probably within 10 minutes, which is amazing.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
And she's starting to show just a little bit more, not remorse, but I feel like she's catching on when she's...
self-awareness.
More self-awareness. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh, what do you think is making the difference?
I think we've been at this, you know, Impact ADHD for about 2 years now. That's probably huge that we've made so many little changes and adjustments. And I just think that she's at a better age, maybe. That I'm like, even if she's, you know, 3 to 5 years, she'll be 10 soon, you know, so I'm thinking like a 6 or 7 year old is a lot easier than a 3 or 4 year old. So just like in the
very true,
we started just naturally aging out of some of those difficult years or almost not perceived years, but years that sort of not her literal years, but her
developmental years,
like sort of aging out to a probably developmentally an easier stage, is probably helping us too.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Those are all great things. And I always think it's important to take a moment and kind of look back and try to figure out what did make the difference, because it's nice to be like, hey, this works, you know, we're making progress, you know, and yeah, it's taken a while, but this, you know, look at this, it's like night and day probably between now and 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Oh my goodness. It's crazy. Like, I feel like I have a different child. So,
isn't that amazing?
Really, really in a great place right now.
Yay. I'm so glad. That's awesome. Very, very cool. Mel, you want to go again?
Yeah. So I'm kind of having a depleted, worn out kind of a day, but I'm celebrating that we only had one snow day this week. So the kids are getting kind of sort of back into the routine of school. And, yeah.
Okay. Life is good.
I mean, my kid got to school this morning. It was 20 minutes late, but she got to school.
She's there, yeah. That's okay. And I guess I could have taken my little guy to daycare this morning, but we just didn't get together. Daycare's open. All the other schools are closed. So I have guilt issues around, I'll just be honest, around taking him when everybody else gets to stay home. So he's here. So I've got someone coming over to watch him. But, my kids only had 3 days of school this week. But it all works out.
Yay.
Yay. So acknowledging and validating is the topic for this week. And what do we want to take aim on, ladies?
I guess I will just, I think I'm going to maybe be sort of forward thinking of something that I see is going to be something that we need to deal with. My daughter doesn't have a phone, but she has an iPad. And so far, it's been pretty great because I have time limits set up. And that automatically cuts her off, so that's not an issue between us. But she has some things that she can use all the time on her app. And so she can always do educational things. And then we've left it open. She can send text, which has always just been to family members. But now she's having friends getting phones, so now they can text. So now we're trying to navigate.
She's 10?
Yeah.
Huh? Uh-huh. She's almost 10?
Almost 10. Yeah, we are planning to get her a phone, but I guess she has enough capability that it can be like a phone because she can text. So now we're having issues, you know, where a friend's texting when she should be doing something else. And this is, it hasn't been a huge deal, but I just foresee in the future, the more people are, you know, the more her friends are getting access to technology that's compatible with hers, that this is going to be something that we're going to have to figure out a system of handling. Okay, you're doing your homework. You have to stay focused on that and not worry about what's going on. Or we're eating dinner, or you're supposed to be getting ready for school. So I could turn off texting every time we're doing something, but that's a lot of on and off. So we just have to figure out
right.
how to do that. So that's something that hasn't been a big issue yet, but I see it, like, in the near future that probably should be prepared for.
Gotcha. So you're kind of taking aim on, it's almost like your values around the device, right? Like, what's important
yeah.
about time spent with you guys and, you know, kind of figuring out when you're okay with it and when you're not. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and probably just how to handle, because I realized that all of this is so very important. And so if you really feel like, you know, her friends are texting little silly things, but it feels like it's the biggest thing in the world. And
right.
so if it derails her from doing something that she's supposed to be doing, in our mind, you know, it was nothing. But in her mind, it's everything. So,
right.
Kind of,
yes, those are fun times.
Both the understanding of each other's perspective.
Okay. So, okay, and I just want to make sure I'm being really clear, and I apologize because I don't want to keep asking any questions about it. But is it helping her? Because I think it'll help if we clarify just a little bit more. Is it helping her understand the impact of social media, or? You know, what's a big deal and what's not, or that whole keep FOMO thing?
Yeah,
it's not.
I mean, I guess it's sort of not social media, you know, in its fullest sense of the word. Like, she doesn't have Instagram. You know, she's not doing Instagram, Facebook. She doesn't have any of that stuff. It's just texting.
Sure.
I think it's just teaching her how to prioritize it when there's things that she needs to be present for. You know, obviously, that's very stimulating to her, is to have little things pop up or, you know.
Sure.
Pop up. So we just have to figure out, it's a challenge. We can't just cut that part out. Well, maybe I suppose we could if it becomes a problem. But I think it's a good skill to learn is how to ignore interruptions.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree. Or figure out a way to.
Yeah.
No, I think that's an important conversation, and I think it's one that's changing all the time, you know, even for us as adults, you know, what, how do we prioritize, right? And
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I can say, yeah, probably I should work on that myself.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying that you needed to, I'm just saying in general, I feel like it's a conversation that changes, you know, often year to year, and sometimes every 6 months, to 6 months, because, you know, something new happens or some dynamic changes, and yeah, no, I think that's an important conversation to have for sure. Cool.
Yeah.
Melanie, what about you?
So I want to take aim on an event that we are going to next week. So we had a much rescheduled concert that older sibling performed in and younger sibling attended with some behavior issues, and then we had bedtime issues afterwards. And there is a much more high-stakes concert happening on Tuesday. These were supposed to be a month apart. In the weather world, they are 5 days apart. Where this is going to be, like, in the big fancy auditorium at the university where they regularly have top performers from around the world come in. So, like, the kids get to perform on a real stage in a real performance space.
Wow.
And the concert is going to be, we're going to need to be there from 6:30 till possibly as late as 9:30.
Okay.
This is going to be, this is just on the face of it, is going to be a challenge for the adults, much less younger sibling who I want to honor the value of her going to her sister's performance and even attending a performance, which we usually don't even attempt, but the consequences for bedtime and the rest of the week, and how do we want to handle helping her not get fractious during the concert.
That's
kind of what I need to think about, because she didn't really even make it through, 20 minutes of last night's concert.
Mm. So does she have to go?
She does not have to go. But if she doesn't go, we would need to locate childcare, and that's a whole nother set of logistics. So she does not need to go, but I think she would mind being excluded.
Okay. Is there just from a logistics, I guess, and a functional standpoint, is there a baby step? Can she come for half? Can she come for a little bit? Is there some backup?
I think the baby step would be for her to attend part of the concert. We then run across the logistical, how do we get her home with one parent while also respecting the fact that we only have one car.
Gotcha.
Okay. So we get into high dimensional transportation logistics at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But in a perfect world, there might be an option of like a babysitter that needs to be there that can drive, or I don't know if you have
right.
that could bring her home, or okay. And just curious, what would be the impact on the performing daughter if you were not able to watch half of the concert because of challenges with your other child?
As long as we caught her part of the performance, I think she would be okay. It's a part of what makes this a challenging and long concert. It's every single middle school and high school has an orchestra playing two or three pieces at this concert. So it's like the district's orchestra night, so that we see, what are all the middle schools doing, and then what are the high school advanced orchestras doing?
Showcase.
And it's meant to like it's both a showcase and get the kids excited about the possibilities of the program and such. And so honestly, I want to be there for the whole time.
Okay.
And that's where I think, like, I'm more feeling the tear of loyalties between what I want to do and which child am I going to prioritize supporting.
I thought there might be something behind that, because my gut reaction, well, not my gut reaction, but I feel like you probably have this one. this is a challenge or an area of opportunity that I'm pretty confident, just from a logistics standpoint, you guys will be able to figure out. So I was wondering if there might be sort of a need behind the need.
Yeah, the other need behind the need is wanting her to be able to do this kind of a normal thing. I don't want to just say I'm just not going to take her to her sister's performance, or I'm going to have her go in for the 5-10 minutes her sister's on stage and whisk out again. I think what it does is it just kind of raises the not normal flag in a way I feel like I don't usually have to deal with.
Okay. All right, we're going to dig into that in a little bit more in a second. Thank you. Has anyone else joined us? Let me find my little thing here. Yep, so there's three of us. Awesome. Okay, acknowledging and validating. Very important to remember that acknowledging and validating is not necessarily accepting or approving, if that makes sense. So, for example, my daughter was in a situation where she just wasn't paying attention. They were on a field trip, and they were like, come on, Soph, we're going into the next room. And she's like, okay, I'll be there in a sec. and she didn't go when they went. She didn't get left behind or anything. They were just in the next hallway over. But she freaked out because she was, she thought she had been left, and she got really, really upset. And in that moment, it was easy for me to say, God, you must have been really scared. I understand, you know, how frightening that must have felt, when I was really thinking, you know, well, you should have listened to God the first time or gone with them when they moved to the next room. But it was important to acknowledge and validate those feelings because it had to be scary for her in that moment. She was like in third grade, thinking that she had been left in this museum hall by herself. So even though really at the end of the day, that was a skill that she needed to learn, in terms of listening and understanding and accepting that moving into the next room was happening. And if she wanted to be with the group and not run the risk of feeling left behind, even though they hadn't technically left her, you know, she's going to have to listen, but she needed to hear that she was safe and that she was okay. And yeah, that was a really scary experience for her. And so I think it's important to make that distinction between acknowledging, validating, and approving or accepting, because there's a lot of situations that our kids are going to be in as young kids, as teenagers, and even as adults where, you know, we can acknowledge and validate, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we understand or that we approve or that we accept. Now, a lot of times, hopefully, we do approve and understand and accept whatever it is, and we're able to acknowledge and validate as well. But I always want to make that distinction because it's okay to acknowledge and validate without accepting or approving sometimes. That's a different, separate conversation. So a lot of this topic is what you guys already know, which is catch your kids being good. Mary, you were, I mean, telling us all kinds of fabulous things that have been happening and how you're reinforcing those things at home. And I think that that's so awesome. And a lot of that is this, right? Recognizing that our kids are struggling and that they're having a tough time, and that when they're able to stay at the concert for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or a half hour, that's pretty good, you know? And yeah, we'd love it if they could stay for 4 hours, but they're not there yet. But last year, maybe they couldn't stay for 5 minutes. So progress is being made, and it's okay to acknowledge and validate that. I'm proud of you for doing that. When so many times I think it's easy for us to focus on what we didn't get. You know, we didn't get the full 3 hours or whatever. And so that's the part that's on us. You know, we have to take a step back and say, where is the positive in this? You know, what can I build my child up with, and find that good? And as we've also touched on, you know, over the course of the year, you know, when we look for the good things, when we look for things that are fabulous and ways to celebrate successes with our kids, it gets easier and easier to find those things because the wolf that we feed is the one that grows. And if we feed the wolf of gratitude and appreciation and acknowledgement and validation, then it's going to be even easier as the days, weeks, years, months go by to find those areas and to focus on them. What's coming up for you guys? Is there a situation that maybe recently, I don't know, stands out for you in a way that you were able to acknowledge or validate, or maybe you weren't able to, and you want to talk about that?
I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. but I totally get what you're saying, and I love it.
Cool. Totally okay.
Yeah, I was using that a lot this morning. Oh, you have 4 pair of boots you could choose from this morning, and all of them are wrong. That's really tough.
All of them are wrong?
Oh, yes. Her favorite pair of boots leak. Then there's a pair of boots that's too small, a pair of boots that's too scratchy, and, of course, the rain boots were too cold. So it was a tough situation.
So how did you handle it?
I said, yeah, it's tough when nothing's perfect, you know, and I expect you to go to school, and I expect you to pick from the footwear you have available right now. And yeah, this is really tough.
And so what happened?
Well, she eventually picked the rain boots and then her rumped about how they were too cold and how she didn't want to go to school. And I said, so what help do you need? And she said, will you walk me there? And so I put my coat on.
Aww.
I know.
And so how did that feel?
Well, you know, like, it felt like we were working together and you know, she got what she needed, at least, you know. I mean, she didn't get what she wanted, which was some sort of magical brand new pair of boots that had all the best features of all the rejected boots.
Yeah.
But she was able to, like, pick the least worst option.
That's awesome. And I love that you said she got what she needed. It may have not been what she wanted, but it was what she needed.
And what I gave her, the other thing I gave her was a lot of time to finish making that decision. I did not rush her along at all tonight because I knew she was tired from last night.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. So if we were to extrapolate that to the next concert night, what would be a way that you could acknowledge and validate and yet honor all of the other things that are important about that night?
Well, if she ends up going, I need to plan to kiss Wednesday morning goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is that feasible?
Yes, it is. You know, because that morning she will get to school in her own sweet time, which may not be anybody else's idea of on time. Or we could pray for a snow day.
Yeah.
Record's been pretty good lately. snow days for Wednesdays.
Magical thinking.
I know. Magical thinking. But, like,
yes.
they've only had one Wednesday of school in all of 2019. So it's not a bad guess.
It's always been a Wednesday here, too. Yeah, the past three snow days have been Wednesdays. So funny. Interesting.
Yeah.
Since I probably can't plan on that happening.
No, I can't plan on that happening. And if it gets close, I mean, like, the last thing we want to do is have to reschedule orchestra night, or it may not even happen if it snows on that day. And that would be very sad. I think one of the things that I need to do is conspire to have a long conversation with my spouse. Because we may need to talk about, you know, one-on-one kidding that evening. In other words, if I just go full out to hang with Elizabeth.
Man-to-man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and have him be in charge of the Margaret experience, which may actually involve coming into the auditorium just for her performance and leaving again.
Mm-hmm.
And what that might look like.
Because
mm-hmm. I think he's less invested in the whole music scene than I am, which I think is one of the reasons it makes it hard for me to, you know, pick which kid I want to be supporting in this particular instance.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. And it's kind of a high-stakes deal to some extent,
yeah.
And you know going in kind of what the challenges are, and you know, do you want to risk it or not? And it's just
yeah. And then the second thing, I need to be, you know, pulling in some of my allies. You know, there's the next door neighbors that give us a little bit of flexibility, and there's some of my other mom friends who have complex kiddos. I need to see if they've got any ideas I'm overlooking.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough. Mary, in terms of acknowledging and validating around texting and friends and devices,
yeah.
What's an area that you can see yourself acknowledging and validating your daughter, but then also perhaps redirecting or noting that there may be a different decision than the one that she wants?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's that's exactly the point, because I think that she feels like if we take that away from her, we don't understand how important it is that she communicates with this one friend. So it was a couple nights ago, we were getting ready to have dinner. Oh, but I have to text Madeline. No, you can wait. Oh, but I have to text Madeline. It can wait. We'll just eat, and then you can text her. But I need to text her. And my husband says, text her fast. And it was not fast. She's writing a whole, page or whatever. So then he just said, just stop. Just, you can finish that when you're done eating. And then there's, so much sadness. Oh, it's like, it's like she's heartbroken. We're like, wonder what this text could have been. Like, check it later.
Oh my gosh.
Check it later. And she, her friend hadn't even, asked her a question, where her friend was, sitting there waiting for a response, Because I could understand, it's one of those, as a parent, I could understand, your friend is, waiting to hear from you, and all of a sudden you disappeared for dinner or, whatever. But they have these little store. It's the cutest, creative thing. They have all these little toys, and they've made this whole, it's like a soap opera. They've this whole story. And so they each have characters at their own houses, and so then they just say, so-and-so just did this. Can you believe it? And the other person's like, I can't believe this person just got sick. I've got to take them to the hospital. It's like their whole world. So she had this thing that she just had to tell her friend about her little Beanie Boo, what happened to the Beanie Boo in the last 30 minutes. In our world, it's like, well, that can wait. That can wait 5 minutes.
Right.
I don't understand. Just because she's having drama with her best friend. Today they got into an argument or whatever, the little Beanie Boos did. That can wait until after dinner. But that's where she got really hurt, was when, just stop, it can wait. And it was, so pressing that she had to communicate, And so she, really hurt, cried, and this is so important, though,
Aww.
And so there is that point that we have to understand, this is their favorite thing, is their world revolves around these little characters and these stories that they're creating together. And so there is, instead of just it being a fight where, we can't text to dinner, it can wait, this is not a big, you're not going to be eating for it, how you want to go into all the, we're not going to eat forever. If you just sit down and eat, you'll be done soon, and then you can send your message, and all of those little reasonings we go through, and her heart's just broken because she had something really special to share, So I do think that that's where we need to say, this is, we get that, in our adult brains, it's not something that is urgent in by any means, but it feels so urgent to her. And so that's where, I think my husband said, it's easy to say, that's just stupid or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's just nonsense, or those things are where you get tempted to say, instead of say, this is a big deal. Can you just tell us? Maybe we could have should have said, why don't you just tell us the story while we're eating? And then, because it's so important to you, that will keep it in your mind fresh so that you can tell Madeline as soon as we're done with dinner. That would probably have been a better way to validate. This is important. So is sitting down and having dinner with our family. Can we somehow let you know that that's important to us, too, while you're still doing what you need to do. That's probably the way that we should have handled it, if we're going to acknowledge and validate that.
Mm-hmm. So what's the change that you can make going forward? I mean, I hate to do, hypothetical situations, but...
Yeah, I know. Well, it's kind of like to take aim on, what I anticipate is going to be a problem instead of something. It's only been in the past couple of days that I'm like, I see this on the horizon. I think, we do probably need to set up a system or a structure of this, that there are certain times that we're just not going to be texting. But then when she feels upset, to handle it differently, if she's struggling with that system or structure of being really empathetic in that situation.
Yeah. And so the challenge about those times too is that everyone has to honor them. unless it's depending on how you structure it. There's been plenty of times when we've been like, it's hard, because I work from home, and when my husband's home and he wants to, get some work done, it's hard to keep those lines drawn, if you get an email and you see it on your phone and you start to respond and yet you're in the middle of a conversation with your kids, it's kind of like, okay, well, we have to walk the walk too.
Be the right example.
Yeah. Is that something that works pretty easily at your house so far?
I think that, yeah, so far, neither my husband or I have things that, we have to have our phone, have situations or jobs or that we have to have our phone with us at all times. So, like, my husband's really great. He usually, when he comes home, he sets his phone either in, like, the bedroom or the closet and just sort of disconnects because I think he wants to be done with work. And I usually, I wouldn't have it out during a meal or during an important time. So I think we're good role models that we probably need to say, hey, let's all do this. Daddy and I are already put our phones away so that we could have dinner. How about you set yours in another room too? Just like, I don't always have mine in another room, but I could make that change really easily. Like to just say, okay, dinner time, how about we just set our phones in another room so that we don't need, or your iPad, because she doesn't have a phone, but let's put those all in another room and they can all be together. And we will all be together.
Yeah. Our phones can all be
because
together.
Because I think sometimes if it's out of sight, it can be out of mind.
Yes. No, I completely agree. And turning off like the vibrations and the sounds, so you're not alerted to them, I think is helpful also. Do you guys have an electronics contract? I know she only has an iPad at the moment, but she'll have one eventually probably. In terms of like a family contract, like, this is what you can use it for, this is what you can't use it for.
Right. I think we haven't done that just because I have an app that controls your phones and what things they can use at which time and for how long. So I have already just sort of done that on my own. But I guess that means they haven't had any buy-in on that. That's been just sort of authoritarian. Like I set that up. probably going forward as they get older, and it hasn't ever been a problem up until now that, they're wanting to keep in touch outside of school. That's where we're going to have to start working on something that makes this a little bit more than just, your phone shuts off at 9 p.m. Or your, whatever that situation might be. So that's probably something that we would need to start looking at,
Okay. Yeah. And then just the awareness piece of it, that's a whole, if she can acknowledge and validate how the system is going to work, she may not agree with it.
Right.
But there's just something about having that conversation that I think also helps acknowledge and validate that your opinion is important and that we want to make sure that you know what the rules are and that we're clear and that we're going to honor those as well. Melanie, what are you thinking?
Yeah. So I'm thinking one of the things that I will need to do is get Margaret's opinion on the whole concert thing. Because, if I know what she wants out of the concert and what she doesn't want out of it, and especially since now we can talk about it in terms of, how tired you were today after the concert. And how do you want to feel the day after the next concert? So that whatever solution we have comes with some built-in buy-in. And I just also need to acknowledge, where I'm at with having this, moment where she should be able to go to her sister's concert and sit through it and behave. And, that may be what should be able to happen, but that's not where she is. you know, the fact that I'm having that kind of should thinking is an interesting flag.
Say that again.
That I'm finding myself thinking in shoulds about this is an interesting flag.
Yeah. What do you think's behind that?
Well, a big thing that's behind that is I went, well, when I was a kid, my parents had concert series tickets, and so I was always being dragged along to concerts, and I sat through more concerts than I've ever subjected myself to as an adult. And yet I want her to have that ability to go to concerts, the ability to decide if that's something that she would enjoy. But, you know, it just hasn't even felt in the realm of the possible. And in this case where, you know, it's her sibling who's performing, I feel like she should be able to attend. Yeah. I mean, it's just not something I usually design into our life. Oh, we should go to concerts. No, we don't. We shouldn't go to concerts.
Well, I mean,
but
it's hard, you know.
it's hard. And so just looking at this and going, oh, this is another place where we have to adjust the expectations. And I don't want to.
Wow.
I don't want to have
okay.
to. I'm tired of adjusting expectations.
Oh,
I do a lot of
my. I hear you. It's tough, isn't it? I mean, there's just some days where you want to be like, dang it, I want what I want. And then you have to take that step back and be like, okay, well, yes, it's hard. Yes, sometimes it sucks. But if we move forward in this vein, we're definitely not going to get what we want, and everyone's going to be upset.
Yeah, and then that will be deeply unpleasant, more unpleasant than if we first start by looking at what is really a useful set of expectations here.
Yeah, so that's a good point. Is there an option to watch a recording of the concert at home, maybe, just the part that your daughter's in?
Well, the concert is being broadcast on local cable TV, but
we don't have
cable. And one, in fact, the piece that she's most interested in isn't going to be broadcast at all because getting the copyright clearance would have been way too expensive.
Gotcha.
So it's a live concert. There's
it'll
not
be a little recording
really good
tell it.
Yeah, there's not really a good alternative to the live concert.
Gotcha.
So
could you
the
record
real
it on your phone?
Is, if I recorded it on my phone, we probably wouldn't watch it. So.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
So, I mean, I think what I'm looking at is, you know, part of the concert or the whole concert, or how do we give her an escape from the concert if she becomes all done significantly before the end?
Mm-hmm.
And the option of just leaving and not, you know, letting other child make her own way home with a cello at 9 p.m. is not really feasible.
True. Yeah. Okay. So what's in, I kind of feel like we're at the point where we need to talk about action steps.
Yeah.
You said you were going to talk to Margaret about it.
Yep. I need to talk to Margaret about it, and I need to enlist my own resources, like, you know, the other moms.
Yes.
Because.
Let's see what they say.
Yeah. It's not reasonable to ask my child to self-propel home. However, you know, it might be reasonable to ask one of her mom, her friends, to give her a lift home.
True.
Yeah.
Has anything become more clear to you during the course of this conversation, the past 45 minutes or so, about how you feel?
Yeah, just that sense that this is a moment where I just feel like this shouldn't be a problem, and that's part of the problem.
Ah. Do you want to dig down on that a little bit more, or do you feel like that's something that just kind of needs
I think
for a bit?
Just having realized that was sufficient.
Okay.
To let me access a few more resources.
Okay. Cool. Mary, what's coming up for you?
I think the idea of probably having a technology contract is smart. In my mind, I knew that would come. I figured it would be years from now. And even though we don't have a huge amount of technology happening yet, it's probably smart to just start that instead of wait until we're really in the thick of technology. Maybe it's probably the smartest thing. You should be proactive and probably have some conversations before we do that so that Bella feels like she has a voice. Instead of just saying, okay, here's the rule now, if you can't abide by the no texting when you're supposed to be getting ready for school or doing homework or eating dinner, then you can't text at all. You know, like that's the easy thing to want to say. But we've thrown that out there and, you know, it's like that's the stupidest thing to say if you want to keep peace in the home. You know, like already just like, you know, the drama. Like, what? You can't say that stuff. That'll turn into a nightmare. It's so easy. I think that's the natural parenting thing if you're not thinking is to just say, well, if you can do
throw
it.
Throw that out there.
You know. Throw that out there. We already tested the water with that, and we know that if we make that rule, that it's going to be kind of hellish for a while. So we probably need to get more feedback from her and buy-in, letting her know that, okay, we understand that this is, you know, your best friend, and you really love to stay connected with her in the evenings because you have this special thing that you do together. So can we make sure that we tell Madeline, because I'm sure Madeline has the same things happening at her house where her parents want her to do, that can we send each other a message, you know, that you just put dinner, you just send a message, you know, you don't have to say can't take, you know, not make it a long thing, but can you just send like dinner to her so that she knows that you're having dinner? And then you feel like you've communicated and she knows, or, you know, like I think we need to strategize where she feels like she's still staying in touch. Because we don't have dinner at the same time every night. We can't just say, tell Madeline,
right,
that it's 6:30, you're unavailable.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what her fear is. Do you think it's about, as you're talking, I'm wondering if it's more about talking with her about expectations? Like, is she worried that her friend will think that she's mad if she doesn't respond right away? Does she feel like there's some sort of time pressure?
Well, there's a little bit. Like, I feel that in the morning. So her little friend gets on the bus and leaves earlier than we leave for school. And so she's on the bus texting, and we still have, you know, 15 minutes until we leave. And so that's the time when we're putting on shoes and gathering bags and all that. And she's texting because she's sitting on the bus. And I'm like, oh, why do you even have a phone on the bus? But anyway, that's not my child.
Right.
She's texting and we're trying to get out the door, you know. So we need to, that's where her friend feels like she's being ignored because Bella's putting on her shoes and her jacket and grabbing her bag. And she's sitting there having done all that already. So I think that's where the morning is. Bella feels like she's ignoring her friend. But then maybe in the afternoon or the evening, she just has so much, you know, like this creativity buildup that she just wants to share as soon as it comes to her. Probably because she doesn't want to forget. I would guess maybe because she doesn't want to forget. Either she's so excited about it, she's got to share it right now, or she doesn't want to forget this great idea that she's had. So that's where I think a lot of the sensitivity, well, there's two sort of sensitivity on both sides to that. Like probably in the mornings we need to just communicate, tell her friend that when you're on the bus, it's not a good time for Bella to respond. Like, don't get your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
She's just
doesn't mean anything.
Like, that's something that we need to communicate to the friend so that she doesn't feel like, why don't you ever talk to me in the mornings? It's because we do a short routine at our house. We are just, we're just fast.
That works best.
Would it be
for us,
worth looping your is it Madeline's mom in as well to the conversation, or dad, or?
Yeah, probably so. Like, I think I want Bella to feel like she's not just we're going behind her back and setting this stuff up. But I do think we probably communicate that to them. They may not realize that she's texting as much as she is from the bus and other places.
Yeah, probably.
So that's something that we need to kind of, that we should just say, hey, mornings aren't great. Like, let's just not plan to do it in the mornings unless you want to get up half an hour earlier so you can be completely ready, you know, with nothing to do when she gets on the bus and is totally free to text.
Yeah.
Like, you are not ready.
So that almost makes me wonder. Sorry to interrupt you. I was just thinking about terms of like your family values and approaches to electronics and communications and, you know, expectations really around it. Like, I'm wondering, you know, if suggesting that she gets up early so she can be ready to text with her friend, if that might miss the goal. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that would I wouldn't expect her to do that. And so that would be something that I would throw out to make it feel like it's her choice when I know what she's going to choose. Like, oh, I definitely don't want to get up half an hour early so that I can be sitting by, you know, the garage with my shoes on and my jacket on and my bag and everything.
Because she might, that's the thing. She might do that.
She might, well. And then I'm like, well, that's okay. If she actually could do it, then that might not be so bad. I'm okay with that option. I have a feeling that probably wouldn't happen. Like, we just have her where she sleeps to the very last minute until she has to get up, and then she gets up and real fast gets ready and leaves. She stays up too late. We can't be getting up early. I think it would surprise me if she chose to get up early, but if she did, it wouldn't be the end of the world. As long as you're ready to go, it doesn't matter if you got up half, you know, at 7:30 or 6:45, just be ready to go. But that would give her an option to just sort of understand, like, you don't have the current schedule in the morning doesn't allow for you to be texting your friend. You're going to see her in 10 minutes anyway.
Right. And I think that's the conversation.
But that's where the validation is, like, why do you even need a text? You're going to see her in 10 minutes. You can tell her everything you want to tell her.
And it's important.
But that insensitivity of, like, but it feels special if I can communicate with you before I see you.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm like, this is
Right. I get it.
That would be something that I would probably try to make her kind of understand what needs to happen. If it's so important to text in the morning, that's what would need to happen for that to work. So then she can make a good choice. Like, we can't stick with our morning routine and add texting to it. It's not going to work. It's so important.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get up earlier. Are you okay with that? And if she's not okay with it, she might be more inclined to tell her friend, hey, I can't do that in the morning. It's not going to work. And it's less about my mom said I can't, but it's like, I don't want to get up earlier, so I say I can't. I'd be interested to see if she had to get up earlier so she could be ready, she might feel better about explaining to her friend, hey, you're on the bus and I'm not. That doesn't really work. And she can't, you know, she leaves electronics at home. They don't go to school with her. So there's a difference there.
And I'm wondering what the fear is. You know, is she afraid that this girl won't be her friend if she's not available to text, or if there's, you know, is it a conversation about friendship?
I think her friend had made comments like sometimes, like, I wonder why you're not replying to me. Like, she feels a little, her friend has said that she feels kind of insecure if she doesn't hear back. So that's where she needs to communicate to her friend, I'm still getting ready.
I don't have my phone, or I don't have my iPad.
Or I don't have my iPad. Like, you still have yours, and I'm on the way to school also, but I don't have it. So you are texting me, and I'm not going to see that till I get home in the afternoon. So I think she does need to communicate with her friend, and if I kind of explain to her what that would look like, kind of the pros and cons of doing it, you know, different ways, maybe then if she feels like she's the one making the decision, it'll be easier for her to communicate to her friend.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
But we just have to figure, we've got to figure that out and help her just to understand why this is difficult. So
sure.
What are we going to do? Are we either going to not text or are you going to get up early so that you can text? Like, those are your options. How important is it to you at 7:50 mm-hmm. to be texting? Is that important that you're going to get up at 6:30? So, and that gives her, you know, to understand that she can judge how important it is, maybe. But either way, she's got to just explain to her friend, if you don't hear from me in the morning, it's because I'm putting on my shoes and my jacket and, you know, getting my stuff together. And I think her friend would understand that. So.
Yeah.
And if her friend doesn't understand, then we can tell the friend's mom.
Then that's a different conversation.
But
right?
I do like the idea of letting her try and negotiate it with her friend first, instead of just the mom's made a plan and here's now what the new rule is.
Yeah. And there's always, I mean, you know, this is, I'm kind of taking my coach hat off for a second and going into my, like, kind of parent of older kids mode.
Which that's helpful for those of us that aren't there yet. Yeah.
Well, it's just, I mean, the device is going, it will be without a doubt the most powerful, I don't know, behavior management tool, I think, in your family from, you know, or
yeah.
in your child's life, really, from the moment they discover that they can connect with their friends, you know, probably until they go away to college. And it's so important to make sure that you manage that and that your kid knows it's okay to say, my mom is making me do this, or, you know,
yeah.
all the things that go along with that, because it's such a minefield. I mean, it really is. It's, she may get up early so she could text her friend, but then if her friend doesn't text back, what happens then? You know, what expectations are we helping our kids create, or what expectations do they have of themselves and others, and do, you know, how do we make sure that they're kind of fragile self-esteem is intact. You know, some of that is just, you know, learning
yeah.
experience, and they kind of have to go through it. But it's so different from when, I mean, I don't know that it is technically different. It's just a different pathway, I guess, than when we grew up. But it's so much more immediate and so much more powerful when you feel that you've been rejected online, or rejected by a friend who may not even have their phone with them. You know, all the misconceptions and the things that go along with that are so amazingly powerful for our kids when they're so young. So it's just something that I you're already doing it. Just get in front of it and make sure that you're on the same page, and then you got to hold the line, whatever it is. And
yeah.
And it's not okay to change the line after a thoughtful conversation about it. But, yeah, do everything you can to structure that the way you think is going to be the best for her, and definitely include her in the conversation. But yeah, it's a powerful, powerful tool.
Yeah, I feel that, and it's come up sooner than I expected, which is
makes me
a little sad. I didn't think that was going to be an issue until we were well into the teenage years, but.
No, it doesn't make it look bad at all. It came earlier for all of us, you know, and our kids try things earlier than we probably realized. You know, they stay up later than we probably think they do. You know, they get up earlier so they can text. So that's my, and I apologize because that was absolutely me giving advice and not being a coach, but.
You can be rebellious and give me advice. I like hearing from women, like mothers who are a couple steps ahead of me, to say, no, really, like, this is important.
Chronologically only.
Just keep a couple steps ahead. Stop recording and then give me all the advice you are giving.
I mean, things have even changed, you know, in the past couple years, so.
Oh, my goodness.
My advice may be outdated by now. Pretty funny. Cool. All right. So you have what you need to set yourself up for success with whatever action step you decide to start with, because it sounded like there were lots of pathways for you to go, Mary.
Yeah, I have a couple things. I think we do need to start thinking of a contract, and then we need to get some communication
with Bella, and then also have her just be in touch with her friends so that there doesn't become, you know, insecurities on either side, that, you know, they both understand that if somebody doesn't respond to you, it's okay. Just like we can't always respond to them, they can't always respond to us.
Right. And it's that rejection sensitive dysphoria thing too. You know, it feels like rejection and it hurts even when it's not rejection.
Okay. Cool. All right, ladies. Anything that's kind of hanging out there that's bugging that you feel like we need to kind of wrap up a little bit or revisit before we sign off for the weekend?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck with the concert. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I'm curious to find out what we're going to figure out.
Hopefully it'll be an easy, very clear answer.
Yeah, here's hoping.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have a wonderful weekend. You can always text or email or call me if you need anything. Otherwise, we'll talk in a couple weeks.
All right. Great. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Stay warm.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.